found in Matthew chapter 5. Let's turn there. Let's take out our outlines from your bulletin. I encourage you to do that. You can write some notes of some things I'm going to cover from the front side that I'm going to point to just to encourage us in understanding of grace. So we're opening up our Bibles to Matthew chapter 5, taking out your outlines. In our text that we're looking at, the Beatitudes here, Jesus is describing the life of his kingdom people. That's what he's doing. He's describing what it's like. He's describing the truth of it. It's the life of the church, as we will find out with the Lord as King, Master, and Lord of our life. As we begin today, I want to remind you, I'll spend a little time here to remind you, as we've been looking at this, the grace of God given to you in relation to our study of Matthew 5. I want you to capture that. I want you to think of that. That's what we're going to look at for a little bit here for you in relation to our study of Matthew 5. Belonging to Christ's kingdom and having the kingdom life within you is because of the grace of God given to you. We acknowledge that. We'll say those words. It's the grace of God. We'll say those kind of things. But do we really comprehend it? That the kingdom life we have is all by the grace of God. I want us to make sure of that. On the front of your bulletin, I put the verse from, or part of the verse from 1 Corinthians 15:10, where the Apostle Paul is talking about himself, and he says, "I am what I am by the grace of God." I want to encourage you, he's not talking about his physical life. He's not talking about how tall he is, or how smart he is, or how adept he is, or how talented he is. He's not talking about anything like that in a worldly or earthly circumstance of affluence or anything like that. He's not speaking about his physical life. What Paul is referring to is his spiritual life. That's what he's talking about when he says, "I am what I am by the grace of God." He used to be a persecutor of the Christ church. He used to be a slanderer of Christ, a hater of Christianity, a lost soul in the world. But now he is saved. He belongs to Christ's kingdom. Jesus is his king. He has a new life in Christ. He has a kingdom life within him. And he has a calling of God on his life to be faithful to. That's what he's talking about, the grace granted to him. That's what he's talking about. I am what I am by the grace of God. I am a believer in Christ. I'm no longer persecute the church. I'm part of the church. I have the kingdom life within me. Paul is saying, I am a believer in Christ with new life in Christ, called to be a bond slave of Christ as the Lord's apostle. I am what I am by the grace of God given to me. So are all of you if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. So am I. It's all by the grace of God. We say it, we acknowledge it, but I want to make sure it's in our heart and soul that we have a good comprehension of it. I want to spend a little time on that. All of us are who we are by the grace of God, and all of us with a calling in the Lord's church to be faithful to. It's all of grace. The Apostle Paul, talking about it to the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians in chapter 1, verse 4, he's writing to the church at Corinth, and he says, "I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given you in Christ Jesus." God's grace was given to them. Verse 9 says, and they were called into fellowship with Jesus Christ, for God is faithful, meaning they are what they are by the grace of God given to them. So in relation to our text, Matthew 5 and the Beatitudes, and what we are learning, the kingdom life that's within us, the newness of life in Christ, this belonging to Christ's kingdom as possessors of this, of these Beatitudes, are a gift of his grace, an unmerited or favor or unmerited benefit from God given to us. It's not potential grace to be given if you believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not that. That's not the word of God. It's not a potential grace that God can give to you if you believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. It's an actual grace given so you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the Bible teaches. Grace given is the action of God given to bring salvation. That's the first blessedness Jesus speaks of in our text. The first point we want to understand about Jesus saying, "Blessed are you," is that you belong to the kingdom of heaven and that you have this kingdom life within you. Blessed are you that have it. It's a gift of grace given to you. Are you tracking with me? This is important for us to understand and have in our heart. You have the life of Christ. You have this new life, belong to his kingdom, have eternal hope, eternal salvation. by the gift of grace given to you. That's how you have it. Listen to our text again. Let me just read it. Chapter 5, verse 3 through 10. And here again, what we have, because of God's grace given to us, who we are, and that we are blessed. This is what Jesus is speaking of. He says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Did you hear what he said in that? Blessed are you that have this. You are, look at your outline. Blessed are you that have belonged to Christ's kingdom. Blessed are you, or you are, that are poor in spirit. You are those who mourn over your sin. You are meek and gentle. You are those who hunger for thirst and thirst for righteousness. You are those who are merciful and pure in heart. You are peacemakers. You are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. You have this life, for yours is the kingdom of heaven. That's what he's teaching. You have the life. It's been granted to you, given to you by the grace of God. It's come upon you. God brought you to poor in spirit, then everything from there followed. Turn your Bibles to Matthew 13. As we kind of continue just looking at this, I want us to just really have a good sound in our heart and mind, understanding that our life is a grace. And you are, and I am, by the grace of God. Matthew chapter 13, beginning in verse 10. I really look forward to when I get to get here to Matthew 13. I might try to speed it up so I can get to this chapter. It's such a wonderful chapter, but all of them are. But look at verse 10. As we grow in our understanding of the grace given to you, listen, verse 10, it says this, "And the disciples came and said to Jesus, 'Why do you speak to them in parables?' So the disciples come, and Jesus has begun to speak in parables. At this point in the Lord's ministry, he began to speak to the crowds in parables, which is, without biblical understanding, you can't understand them, right? The disciples can, we can. Biblical understanding, Holy Spirit in our lives, we can understand what they are, but the world can't understand them. And why he is doing this is basically because they are rejecting him. They don't get it. They don't get it, so they come and say, why are you speaking this way? Sometimes the disciples didn't get it. Jesus explained it, but then they still could understand when Jesus explained it. Do you understand in the world that the truths of God and that the truths of the principles of God in his word, the ordinances and principles and the ways of God and the theology of God, you can explain it to a lost world? They don't get it. They don't get it. They really don't comprehend the truth of it all. We do. That's what he's saying. So he asks him, why do you speak this way? Look at verse 13 as Jesus answers. Here's why he speaks to them in parables. He says, "Therefore I speak to them in parables. Because while seeing, they do not see. While hearing, they do not hear, nor do they understand. In their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is being fulfilled." This is happening by the sovereign will of God. Did you see what he just said there? Hey, they can't see. They can't understand. They don't have eyes to see. They don't have ears to hear. And this is fulfilling in the sovereign hand of God what God began a long time ago. And Isaiah said it would be when the Messiah came, that they're not going to hear. They're not going to understand. So they're not going to see the truth of God. They're not going to understand the truth that they hear. So I speak to them in parables because they're not going to get it. But look at verse 11. Here Jesus is answering true disciples of Christ. He says in verse 11, "To you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it's not been granted." Do you see the grace there? Do you see the grace that Jesus is talking about? Who grants to be able to see? Church, who grants for you to be able to see? God, that's grace, isn't it? That's where faith comes. Nobody can see and understand without it being granted to them by God. That's what Jesus is teaching about. You disciples, it's granted to you to see and hear. It's grace given. You guys see that, right? The mystery of the kingdom, this mystery means something that was hidden before that's now being revealed. The Old Testament wasn't revealed, this mystery of the kingdom. Is the church age, salvation in Christ, new life in Christ, belonging to Christ's kingdom, with you having the kingdom life within you, the things that you are now, you are poor in spirit, those who mourn, meek and gentle, you hunger and thirst for the right way to live, you are merciful, pure in heart, peacemakers, and you rejoice when you're persecuted for righteousness' sake. That's been revealed. You see it. You hear the truth of God's word. They didn't see it. It wasn't granted to them. Now you're getting the depth of God's grace here. This is what Jesus is teaching here. This is why we're looking at this. Now look at verse 16. Jesus says, but blessed are your eyes because they see and your ears because they hear. Blessed. Blessed you are because you see the truth and understand the truth that you hear. Why do you understand and see the truth that you hear and see? Why? Help me, church. Why? Because grace is granted. Isn't that true? Isn't that true of God's word? Because grace was granted. It was granted to them. It's been granted to you. It's a grace of God given to you. Now you have a life where you've been brought to poor in spirit, humble before the Lord. You've been brought to where you have a meekness and a gentleness in this new life that you have. You have a life that seeks and hungers after the righteousness that God has for our lives. You mourn over sin when you sin against God and you desire and want God to change your life. That all came from grace granted. Blessed are you. That is the gift of grace granted to you. I am what I am by the grace of God. Just overwhelming truth, isn't it? You played no part in that. You played no part in being granted the grace to be able to see and understand, because apart from the grace you don't see and understand, I don't, nobody does. That's who I'm preaching to today. Those that see and hear the truth of God's word. The first point of the blessedness, you have the kingdom life within you. It's the first blessedness. You belong to the kingdom. The second point of blessedness that Jesus is pointing out is blessed you are who live them. Not only do you possess this new life in Christ, not only do you possess, belong to the kingdom of Christ, the real blessing is that you live it. That's what Jesus is getting to. Blessed are you that live these beatitudes from our text. Look at your outline. For those that live them, they shall be comforted. They shall inherit the earth. They shall be satisfied. They shall receive more mercy. They shall see God. They shall be called the sons of God. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. That's what Jesus is teaching us. Do you see what I'm talking about today? If you don't live in the way that's in your new life, that's within you, if you don't live poor in spirit, mourning over sin, meek and gentle, hungering and thirst for righteousness, merciful, pure in heart, peacemakers, being persecuted for righteousness, if you don't live that, the blessedness of God's work through them by grace doesn't happen. The blessedness of God's work in your life through them by grace doesn't happen. Simply, if you are a Christian, you are blessed. But the true happy and content, the contentment of the soul, is in living these beatitudes. It's like what Paul said after he said in 1 Corinthians 15:10, by the grace of God, I am what I am. Then he writes, and God's grace given to me was not in vain. That means I lived it. It's in vain if you get this grace of God to be able to see and to understand and to have the life and not live it. He said, so it's not in vain. So I live this new life by the power of grace. Blessed are you who have kingdom life by grace given, who live the kingdom life by the work of grace at work in your life. Blessed, happy, and content is the soul of those that do. That's what Jesus is teaching. We struggle to be content in life. We struggle for the right understanding, not happenstance happy. Happy is the soul that has the life of Christ. We struggle in contentment because the contentment, the blessedness of God comes from living the way of these Beatitudes. This is the true grace of God that we can. So it's twofold. Now with that, turn your outline over. Let's get into the next Beatitude. We've covered some so far, but I wanted to set that on your heart and mind so you understand that if you have eyes to see the truth of God, if you have ears to hear and understand the truth of God, it's been a grace of God granted to you that you can and that you do. That's how new life came. That's how belonging to Christ's kingdom came. Let's look at the next beatitude in our study. Let's look at the next Christ-like characteristics of those who belong to Christ's kingdoms. We've already seen that you are poor in spirit, you mourn over sin, you are meek before God and gentle with others. Now from verse 6, here's the next one that we're going to look at today. I got to turn my Bible back there. Back to Matthew 5. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. This righteousness that we hunger and thirst for is not a self-righteousness. It's not a righteousness so I'm right with God. It's the sanctification righteousness that you hunger for. We're already right before God because of Jesus Christ. God has clothed us in Christ's righteousness. His righteousness is credited to us on our account through faith in Christ. So Jesus is speaking about living before God in the right way. Not to earn righteousness, nobody earns it. I don't have any of my own. I can just live the right way that God has for me to live. It's His righteousness, Christ's righteousness that I'm seeking to live, that I hunger and thirst for to live for. You guys with me? It says, so we're not trying to be right before God. We are already right before God. We are hungering, thirsting to live the right way before God because it's in the new life in Christ. This is hungering and thirsting for knowing the right way, the righteous way, to live before the Lord. Blessed are those that do that. They are satisfied. That's what Jesus is meaning. Let's look into that. Those who belong to Christ's kingdom with kingdom life hunger and thirst to grow in their knowing of the Lord and hunger and thirst to mature in living the Lord's righteous way. That's what he's teaching. This is in every true believer. This is the life that God gave you by his grace in your salvation, that you're born again, regenerated, made new, and that you have. It has a hunger and a thirst to live Christ's righteous way to live. It desires it. It wants it. It's simply reflected in Ephesians chapter 5. Turn there with me. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8 through 10. It's all over Scripture. I picked a couple just to look at. So we'd get a good grasp of what Jesus is teaching here now when he's talking about these characteristics of those that belong to the kingdom, that have the kingdom life within them. Ephesians chapter 5, look with me at verse 8 and following. Verse 8 and following. This is reflecting what Jesus is talking about here. Paul, writing to the church at Ephesus, says this: you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth, trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. See, you hunger and thirst. You are now light in the Lord to walk as children of light, and that light consists of all goodness and righteousness. You hunger to live as children of light, children of the Lord, that walk in the light, that walk in the truth of Christ, that walk in the light of Christ, which consists of all goodness and righteousness. That's the way you hunger and thirst for that, trying to learn what's pleasing to the Lord. That's the kingdom life. You, in your new life, have a hunger to live that way. Anybody want to say amen to that? Now you know what you hunger and thirst for that isn't that, right? That's the whole battle, isn't it? You hunger and thirst for the things of the world and all that. I'll get to that in a moment. We know that, right? But we know the truth about Christianity, that the new life by God's grace that he brought to our life to be able to see and understand God's truth, there's a part of us, there's our new life in Christ, the very depth of our being that hungers and thirsts for Christ's way in our life. And we're battling the flesh and its hunger and thirst for its way in our life. Turn to 1 Peter. Let's look at this a little bit more. Just very simply, Peter said this very simply, so did Paul, in this kingdom life of you in your new life in Christ have a hunger and thirst to live for. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2. Just wanting us to be able to grab this and just really, truly have a good grasp of what Jesus is talking about here in a very simple way. It's taught all over in the New Testament. But look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. Listen to what he said. He said this, "Therefore, putting aside all malice and all deceit and all hypocrisy and envy and all slander." So you understand there's a putting away, there's a putting aside. Ray read this morning out of Ephesians 4:22, the flesh is being corrupted in the deceit of lust. The old life, the old way, that's what it is. There's nothing good dwelling in my flesh. There's nothing good in that. There's this life that I have to put aside. I can't have malice or deceit or hypocrisy or envy or slander, as Peter's talking about here. There's this part that we put away that we say, I'm not going to go that way, even though there's a fleshly desire to have these things in my life. I'm going to set them aside. I'm going to put them aside. You're going to lay aside what your flesh, your old life hungers for. You have to do that. That's your responsibility as a believer in Christ. Jesus said, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. The God that we love and the God that speaks to our lives, that we hear the truth of word, the truth from his word, that we can see the truth and understand the truth, speaks to our new life in Christ. It doesn't speak to our flesh. God tells us, you tell your flesh to be quiet. You deny your flesh. You deny yourself. I'll speak to you in your new life and you follow me. But you lay aside. You deny yourself. Verse 2. Like newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the word so that you by it you may grow in respect to salvation. There is in the life of the believer a longing, a hunger, a thirst for the truth of God's word in which shapes the way you live, where the truth of God's word conforms you toward Christlikeness. That is called here in 1 Peter to grow in respect to salvation. The Apostle Paul, speaking to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11, says this, flee from these things, as you would study the text. It's run from the lust of the flesh and whatever that might be manifesting itself in your life. Run! Flee! His next words, and you, man of God, you, person of God, you, woman of God, it's all the same. You that belong to God, you that have kingdom life, pursue righteousness. There's a running from something and a pursuing something in Christianity. And it's being able to have definitive understanding of the difference. But see, by the grace granted to you, you've been given eyes to see and ears to hear. By the grace of God. There is no excuse. There's reasons. I say that all the time. Forgive me for that. I know there's reasons. There's reasons why I acted in that manner, but in the Word of God, it says there's never an excuse. I just chose not to deny me. I just chose, even though it might have been hard or difficult or whatever it is, I just chose not to deny me and to pursue the right way that God has for me. Because I can see and I can understand. Because I've had the grace of God granted to me to see and understand. This is important for all of us to understand and to know. This is how you parent your children. You start to see when they have eyes to see and they have ears to hear and they start to understand these truths of God in a real way, and then you hold them accountable. Say, well, yeah, you know the truth there. What's God's truth? Well, we're not supposed to. And I don't want to do that. I have new life in Christ. So what do we have to do? You know, I know there's reasons. My sister just kept poking me and antagonizing me. But there's no excuse. God says, by the power of God, I cannot take revenge. So let's learn that. Let's walk in that. Let's be who God wants us to be. Let's hunger and thirst for the righteousness of Christ to be lived out in our life. Because it's there. You with me, you guys? This is so good. This is what Jesus is teaching. So blessed are those who pursue what the kingdom life is like in you, hunger and thirst for it. Again, what is that? To simply to know intimately your Lord and Savior and his way of life for you so you can live it. It's simply that. All who belong to Christ's kingdom have that thirst, that hunger. It's in you. It's in your new nature. Do you guys know that? You're not to conjure it up. You're to deny yourself so it's available. What hides it, what hinders it, why it's not active as it should be, is it's because you're not denying your own self. You're not embracing the things of God. Are you in God's word? Then you're not denying yourself if you're not. Are you in God's church? Are you attending and listening to the word of God? Are you reading your Bible? Are you in a Bible study? Are you pursuing the things that God has for us to live? If you're doing that, those things, you're denying the other side. You're denying the, and like a newborn baby, you're going to long for the pure milk of God's word so that you by it, you grow in respect to salvation. You're the hindrance to God's righteousness becoming your way of life. You embrace the world or the things of the world or the life of the world or the Jesus is simply saying the new life in you that's within you hungers and thirsts for this. It's in you. We all need to grow. We all need to mature. We all need to grow, move forward in that. I get it. But it's good to have clarity because I'm preaching to those that have eyes to see and ears to hear. This flows from the other Beatitudes, doesn't it, that we've covered. You walk humbly before the Lord. That's poor in spirit. You mourn over your sin with conviction. And then comes godly sorrow that brings repentance to turn another way. So you seek the righteous way, the Christ-like way, which your kingdom life hungers for. Blessed are you, Jesus says. Content are you in your soul. Happy are you in your soul. This is what the kingdom life hungers and thirsts for. The righteous way of living to please Christ. That's what it hungers for. Hunger and thirst is all over the Psalms. It's all over, huh, Tom? When you start looking, you just go, wow, this is just all over. You see the psalmist writing about it. If you want to take a little journey with me, turn to Psalm 25, verse 4 and 5. Let's just kind of walk our way through and just listen to the psalmist and Old Testament saints and how they just longed for this. They just hungered for this. It's all over the place. Psalm 25, verse 4 and 5. This is Psalm of David. This is David, but there's other psalms that aren't David. It's written like this. Verse 4 and 5. He says, make known your ways, O Lord. Teach me your path. Lead me in your truth. And teach me, you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all day. He's longing to be taught, longing to know, longing, wanting what God has for him, hungering for the things that God has said is the way of life for him. He's just hungering for it. He doesn't have it all. We know David. This is before he sinned. He's hungering for it. Look at Psalm 42. A few pages to the right, Psalm 42. Listen to the psalmist here. He says this in verse 1 and 2, as the deer pants for the water brook, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. He's just expressing what he longs for. And now half of us sitting here are struggling with, man, that doesn't seem to be in my life. I don't long for that. Simple truth, you're longing for the wrong thing. You're not denying yourself. You're longing for the things of the world. That interrupts the new life you have to long for the things God wants you to long for. That's the battle. That's the reality. Psalm 63, just verse 1. The psalmist writes, O God, you are my God. I shall seek you earnestly. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh yearns for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. Do you know there's no water in this world? Not just in the state of California? There's no true living water in this world. It's only in Christ. There's zip, living water. What are we longing for? What are we thirsting for? Dry land. And we just get to confront our lives. This is the Lord. This is the Word of God. I have eyes to see and ears to hear. I'm going to apply what God's Word is speaking to me in my life. This is the struggle. This is the reality. This is Christianity. This is for those who belong to the kingdom of God. The world struggles zero with what we're talking about. They think we're ridiculous for longing the things of God. They long for everything but the things of God. This is what Jesus is teaching. Psalm 119, verse 20. Psalm 119, verse 20. Mine's marked, so I'll give you a little time. I cheated. See mine? Mine's all marked, you know. You guys didn't want me going, where is it? Where is it? This here's the psalmist says, my soul is crushed with longing after your ordinance at all times. My soul is crushed longing after a better golf swing. My flesh is crushed. My soul's not crushed. My soul's saying, Ken, don't long for that. It's okay. Hit a few putts, practice a little bit, but that's not what you long for. Right? That's just my challenge. Verse 40, Psalm 119. Look at verse 40. Behold, take notice, look. We long for your precepts. Revive me through your righteousness. It's all over the place, you guys. It's the life that God has given us. It's the life that God has given to those that belong to his kingdom. It's the life that is within you. It's the life that you are to embrace, to walk in. Another one, verse 131 of Psalm 119. 131. I opened my mouth wide and panted. I opened my mouth wide and panted, for I longed for your commandments. These are just people like you and me, expressing what they've learned, what it came to, what they understood, what they hungered and thirsted for. Psalm 143, verse 8 and 10. The psalmist here says, let me hear your loving kindness in the morning, for I trust in you. Teach me the way in which I should walk. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Let your good spirit lead me on level ground. Have I given you enough of them? For you to see that the Word of God in the Bible, the people of God, those that have the kingdom life, those that follow the Lord, those that have received the grace of God granted to them, those that have this new life within them, there is a longing for, a hungering for the righteous way of the Lord in their life. Listen, the world around you hungers and thirsts for things in this life that will never satisfy. They'll never bring contentment. It's not in the world. Maybe we need to hear that and be a little more convinced of that. A little more assurance that it isn't. A little more confidence from God's Word. Even in the church, Christians think that worldly stuff, nothing wrong with having stuff. Nothing wrong with a nice car, a nice home, the things that we have. Nothing wrong with going, doing this, that. Nothing wrong with that. The best way to look at it is, do you just have those things, or do those things have you? Is that what you hunger and thirst for in your life? Like I said, even in the Christian church, there's a thinking that the worldly stuff can bring a contentment, even though we would all know that if you hunger and thirst for those things, it's sin. That's the devil's deception, the temptation that we face. It's not from God. And also, some of the church, they hunger and thirst for some sort of experience that will bring some sort of happier contentment of their soul. And there's nothing wrong with the experiences that we have in a church with God and those kind of things, but that's what they hunger and they're looking for another one. They're looking for another one. They're looking for another experience. They hunger and thirst for that going around because that's what they want in their life. They want this experiencing of God. And there's someone in the church that hunger and thirst for the blessings of God. I'm just hungering so God will help me here and God will give me this and God will bring his peace and I hunger and thirst for that. Do you recognize something here? Do you recognize what Jesus is saying here? In this text, it's not surprising those things are in the church, but let me just tell you what Jesus is teaching. Believers, church, you and me are not meant to hunger the things of the world. Our flesh does, but our new life isn't. We don't hunger and thirst for that. Our flesh does, but our new life doesn't. Believers, you and me, those that hear and see, are not meant to hunger after experience. They're not meant to hunger and thirst after blessing. If you're going to be satisfied, Jesus said, happy and content in your soul, you must hunger and thirst for righteousness. It isn't contentment to the soul, happiness to the soul, isn't and hungering thirst for anything else. That's what Jesus is teaching. It's in hungering and thirst for the righteous way of Christ in my life. Then he says, you shall be satisfied. There's no satisfaction in hungering and thirsting for other things then. Amen? This is so good, isn't it? If the satisfaction of God, if being satisfied, that word is filled, or to be fed, I'll get to it, is in hungering and thirst for whatever, don't we want to do whatever? Come on, you guys, right? Jesus said it's hungering and thirsting for the righteous way of Christ to be brought in your life. Sanctification for you to grow in your Christlikeness. That's where you're going to be satisfied by God. That's what he's teaching. This is incredible. This is just so clear. This is why I struggle. This is why I struggle that there's not a contentment. Because I'm putting on God that contentment is in these other things that he has to bring into my life. And I'll find it. And he said, they're not in them, even if they're from God. They're in you becoming more like Christ and knowing your Lord and Savior in a more intimate, deeply way. That's where they're at. Amen to that. That's clarity for me. You must hunger and thirst for righteousness. That's the kingdom life that Jesus says that you'll be satisfied. Do you guys see this? Do you want to be content and be satisfied? Like Peter said, long for the pure truth of God's word, where the righteous way is found and you'll grow in respect to salvation. And that satisfies your soul. You guys know Matthew 6:33, don't you? Jesus is teaching, okay, here's a teaching on how to not have worry, not anxiety. That's the opposite of contentment or satisfied, isn't it? You're just so worried about everything in this life. You're just so anxious about everything in this life. Chapter 6, verse 33, Jesus says this. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Everything that you're anxious and worried and overwhelmed about, the things of this world, this life, the things you have or don't have and all that, he said, here it is, simply, same thing we're learning. As a priority life, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. He is saying, as a priority all the time, seek his kingdom. Well, that's where Jesus is king. Seek his authority in your life. Seek his surrendered life to him. You belong to his kingdom and he is your king. Seek his righteousness, his way of life for you, found in God's word, and the needed things, God will see that they are taken care of. This is so definitive, so good. This is so clear. This is the way it is. And actually, that's meekness, trusting in God's sovereign dealings in your life. The word satisfied here, like I said, to be understood as filled or to be fed to the full. Jesus is saying hunger and thirst for me and my way for you. And in each hunger and in each thirst, you will be fed to satisfaction. In that is your happy or contentment of your soul. Just like when you're hungry. How many of us are hungry right now? I'm hungry. I think when it falls back, it's even worse. But you push forward, it's a little, right? When it falls back, you know, now it's like already like 1 o'clock, close to 1. We're like, right? But we're hungry right now. When you are, you eat to be satisfied, don't you? If we're trying to deal with ourselves, right? In the right mind, right? You eat to be satisfied. You eat to be fed to the full. Just like when you're thirsty, you drink water till you're satisfied. Then as you hunger or thirst later today or tomorrow, you eat and drink then to be satisfied. Jesus says, hunger and thirst for me and my way of life, and I will nourish you to satisfy that today. Then as you do tomorrow, I will satisfy that. Then one day when you hunger and thirst will be completely satisfied. 1 John 3:2. We know when Jesus appears, that's at the second coming of Christ, we will be like him because we will see him just as he is. That's when complete sanctification is full and intimate knowing of the Lord is full. He's filling that sanctification and intimate knowing of him in each of how you hunger and thirst. He's giving you to the full. And then you're going to have it to more later today or more tomorrow. It's not meant to be completely satisfied here. Just like you're going to be thirsty. Your new life in Christ isn't meant to be completely fed and to be full with the righteousness of Christ or intimate knowing with him here. It's a continually ongoing thing of hunger and thirsting for, and he keeps satisfying, feeding you to the full and walking with you. Happy and content is their soul. Listen, the only real true happiness or contentment is to live the kingdom life. Let me say that again. The only real true happiness or contentment is to live the kingdom life. The devil is a liar. The world's a liar. It's deception is to tell you it's in all and every other thing. Jesus is definitive and clear. Beatitudes, Sermon on the Mount. The greatest sermon ever given that Jesus taught his disciples, and it runs throughout every epistle. It's the life of the church. One last thing before we wrap it up today. Turn your Bibles back to Matthew 13. Matthew 13. You see why I started with the grace today? Because the most motivating thing in my heart, and most the greatest thing, and Tom would affirm this, because that's the testimony of him in from Churches Indiana. Tom is a grace preacher, and it's true. He understands the grace, knows it's all the grace of God, knows that this life that we have is because God granted grace to us to hear and see and understand. And there's an important aspect here in Matthew 13. There's a kingdom principle that I need to point out to you. Like I said, I'm excited when we get to see all of this chapter and what Jesus taught, but here's a life in the kingdom principle, the principle of Christ's kingdom. It starts in verse 11. Look at it with me. Jesus answered them. He answered the true disciples. That's who that he's talking to right there. To you, it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them, it has not been granted. You are blessed to see and understand the truth of those who belong to Christ's kingdom. It has been granted to them by grace. You know and understand about salvation in Christ, new life in Christ. You have the kingdom life within you. You can walk humbly before God. You can mourn over your sin, repent and turn to be changed and grow and mature. You can walk meekly before God, trusting in his providence to bring about the sovereign, his sovereign will, which helps you be gentle with others. You hunger and thirst for Christ and his way for you, and he will fill you and satisfy you. You have it. You've been granted to you. Look at verse 12. For whoever has, to him more shall be given, and he will have an abundance. Do you see what it says? That means as much as you have today, as much as you understand and know the Beatitudes today, more grace will be given and more abundance of this life will come. That's the kingdom principle. Everybody that's a believer in Christ, everybody that has true salvation in Christ, they get the new life in Christ and it grows in abundance. It moves forward. Now, we fall back, we stumble, we get up, all of the things, right? But this is a kingdom principle. More grace, the grace of God, the power of God to help us to learn how to walk with Christ, to learn to get out of our flesh, to learn how to, it's more grace. It just keeps being given to those who belong to the kingdom, and it's abundance. This isn't about physical money or nothing like that. It's your Christ-like life. And the kingdom principles, those that belong to him, move forward. That's what he just said. It's the power of grace in your life that it's already been granted. You get more. And you move forward. You grow in this. Sometimes just a little increment, sometimes not really fast. But in your own heart and soul, you know what direction you're growing. You mature in your humility, your meekness, gentleness, your repentance of sin, and righteous conduct that God promised to work in his kingdom people. It grows. It's right there in the text. To those that have been granted eyes to see and ears to hear. But you got to look at the rest of the verse. Look at it with me. But whoever does not have, even what he has shall be taken from him. That's sobering, isn't it? Jesus is definitive. He's not vague. He's not wishy-washy. Those who belong to Christ's kingdom, their life in their kingdom is a kingdom direction. They're poor in spirit, mourning over sin. God comforts them. They are meek and gentle. It doesn't mean you're like totally like Christ, meek and gentle. There's some meekness before the Lord, gentleness toward others. When you're not gentle, Ray was sharing today in Sunday school class that he wasn't, and God conviction, and he had to go ask for forgiveness, and he wants to be gentle. Oh, that's the life of the Christian. There's more grace. Aren't you glad, Ray, that you got grace today or yesterday or the day that you messed up and didn't talk to those people in a kind way? Aren't you glad the grace of God covered all of that and worked in your life? And he's trying to have Christ-like life and more in abundance in your life by you responding to what God does by the power of his grace. That's the Christian life. They seek to walk as children of light in the light that they have. But those who don't have this life but are around the light, that's what he's talking about, that true light of the gospel will be taken away someday. Sobering thought. Sobering thought. Today is the day of salvation. Somehow, by the grace of God, God pierces your heart with the truth of the gospel, and you see the true light of the life that God wants you to have. Have it, or that light will leave. As Paul said in 1 Timothy 1:13, here's our heart about all that. Don't have it. Paul said, the grace of our Lord is more than abundant to save by the faith and the love found in Christ Jesus. It sure is. We will look at mercy and maybe pure in heart next week. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for the definitiveness of your word and what Jesus is teaching and saying. And we just fall down before you and giving recognition that apart from you, I would never see, I would never understand. Apart from the grace in my life today, I would never, even being a believer, it's your grace at work in my life, to the Holy Spirit, to illuminate the word of God to us, to have it pierce our heart in another way, to have it bring conviction, have it bring clarity. Hebrews 4:12 says, the word of God is active and living, two-edged sword, piercing all the way to the soul. Just like today, the word of God, it pierces all the way, shows us who we are. Nothing's hidden from you. Nothing. You know who we are. There's no condemnation for those in Christ. He's not condemning us. In fact, he's encouraging us to say, I'll satisfy your seeking of me. I will. I'll satisfy you. I'll bring contentment to your soul. I promise you that if you seek after the Lord Jesus Christ in his way, I will bring a contentment, a peace, a joy. I'll bring these things to your life because that's who I am and that's what's going on. Don't let the enemy steal your conviction. There is truly no satisfaction in the things of this world. Not what Jesus is talking about. And for anybody here that God's piercing their heart with the truth of the gospel, that they desire, they want this life, that's the grace of God active in your life. That's God, and God alone. Because as much as I wish I could preach people into the kingdom of God, I have no power. I have no ability. It's only the word of God used by God to bring forth life. So we thank you today for the true grace of this life. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Have a great day.